This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast, episode 2 of Katie Seasoned. And who better to break down Katie Seasoned than our own Katie? Welcome back, Katie. How are you?
Not as exciting as the real Katie, but I'll take it.
Well, I don't know about exciting. I mean, you're maybe a little less drama this week in your life than in the other Katie's life. Most of it had nothing to do with Katie herself. But I imagine eventually we'll get to that. And, you know, I think we should sort of start where the show started, which was Katie's first ever group date, making sure people are here for the right reasons. If you were doing the drinking game last night, you are probably still drunk.
Yeah. You are not awake yet.
No, there was a lot of that. And you knew they weren't going to wait long before doing a sex-based date. And they didn't. They literally started it all off with putting people on stage to explain why they would be the greatest lover ever.
And they definitely didn't wait in adding Mike P into this date either. Poor guy.
You know.
At least he knew it was going to be a challenging time, he said, but I don't think he was expecting, like, literally right out the gates, like, first date, you're on it, it's all about sex. He was not prepared. I think he needed a few more weeks to mentally prepare for what was about to happen.
Yeah, and a lot of people wordplay. Mike, I think, did it unintentionally when, you know, didn't think it would come this quick, and I'm like, oh, buddy.
He was walking right into them.
Oh, you don't need to help him out any more than you already are. And listen, I don't know how else he could have handled it. I mean, I guess he could have pulled her aside, not on stage, and just told her. But
I thought that's where it was going. I thought, you know, when they had that time to come up with what they were going to do on stage, I thought he was going to pull her aside and just be like, I'm uncomfortable. This is my situation. I'm still going to do this exercise, but this is where I'm at. And this is why I kept writing question marks on all my whiteboards.
And I think he addressed it as well as he could, you know, without actually just saying, hey, I'm a virgin. I mean, he said that, but didn't say it that way. I think the fact that he added
it together very well.
Yeah. He added some unexpected nuance. He said, you know, went out about it more than just one way of finding that intimacy. And if anything, it probably bought him a few more weeks because, you know, as somebody as sex positive as Katie, and not that she would ever shame him or anyone, but I think it can be a little much to take the opposite way of like, oh, I'm all here talking about sex positivity and you're a virgin at 31. Like, it's a very different approach.
It would not be a good look if, like, after this bomb he dropped, okay, bye.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely, I mean, there definitely seems to be a connection. Definitely after, I thought he did a great speech on stage. I think they do actually have a connection, it looks like. But if she was like, yeah, I'm not feeling it, like, you have to go, like, it would definitely look and seem like that was the reason why.
She did take the easy way out, though, because she ended up, we'll get back to the quote-unquote star of this performance, but she ends up giving him the trophy. So, like, he won the Greatest Lover of All Time award, which is a whole nother issue. Yeah. But that didn't give him a rose. He still could very well be sent home whenever we finally get to a rose ceremony.
Right. I thought it would automatically include the rose, like, or else he'd get the trophy, and then as soon as they're together alone, he would get the rose, but there was no guarantee. All you're stuck with is a plastic trophy.
Yeah, so a little bit of an easy way out for Katie, but I think that we need to talk about the person that ended up clearly wanting to be a star and wanting to be the star of this season, and he uses the idea that other people are here only because they want to be famous as a way to try to hide the fact that he's only there because he wants to be famous. And that is Carl. And we should have probably known when he basically leads off by saying, like, I don't want anything to do with any drama. You know, I always want to avoid drama. I'm like, well, we know who usually says
that. That's like the classic foreshadowing right there. Like, and you knew it was coming. I didn't know it would be this soon. I feel like this episode, like, brought out all the usual not here for the right reasons, like, here for the fame, fights between people that knew each other. Like, what's going to happen? What are they going to use the rest of the season? Like, they're pulling out all these, this usual drama in episode 2. I mean, they have to have something up their sleeves for the rest of the season, I guess.
And Carl seems like he almost, I don't know if he so much watches the seasons as maybe like either just read some cliff notes or someone gave him like, hey, let me give you the 5-minute intro to what the seasons are like, because he was using all of these bachelor, bachelorette buzzwords.
Yeah.
And
he definitely did research. If he wasn't a big super fan of this show, I think he did lots of research before coming on here.
And in his, you know, one-on-one or in the moment, whatever you want to call it, it's just, you know, talking about how, you know, oh, I locked down deals and so I'm going to lock this down. And he clearly is just approaching it like it's a game. And I mean, I guess in certain ways, it is, because it is a competition.
Yeah, but no one likes when it's compared to a game. But, I mean, he even called it, like, the Hunger Games. He literally called it the game. he was like, he kept saying, back in the game, competition, Hunger Games. Like, talk about someone there for attention and fame. You're not there for love.
And he just, for some reason, and I don't know why, because his presentation was all over the place and just went on and on. And, you know, taking the cutout of her and.
Yeah, it's too aggressive.
Weird. Yeah, just a little too extra.
Yeah.
And then for him.
I think she felt that way, too.
Yeah.
I think she was kind of taken aback, like, what are you doing with a cutout of me? Like, that's weird.
Yeah. If you did that to the cutout with a banana, what do you know? No. Let's move.
I think I'll pass. Thanks.
And somehow he still thought like, oh, I've got this locked down. Like, I'm going to get the rose for this group. And then it goes to Thomas, which was a little bit out of left field, because really he just sat down and was like, oh, we have such a connection. Let's make out. And pulls her up on his lap. And then that apparently is enough.
By the way, here's a rose.
And
I think we should talk, not that I want to talk about it, but Connor B on this date with his coming back out with all the musical instruments, making his songs, of course. And then wanting to redo their first kiss without the cat costume. But I don't know if you saw the way he held her head, because it's also all over like social media and stuff.
Well, because he,
but it was so awkward. He
went out of his way to specifically say, hey, remember when I touched your face and I understand, or your head. And I understand it was more talking about the paws.
Yeah. But he still did the same thing.
He immediately went right to the side of the head to paw at her head.
Yeah. He had both hands just like on either side. Like her whole head was in his hands. Not on the face. Like, yeah, earmuffs. Like, no. I'd be like, what are you doing? Can you remove your hands from my head, please?
She seemed to be into it, though.
I don't know if she, like, fully noticed. I don't know. She has this weird thing for this cat thing. I think she wanted the costume back. Well, I don't know.
It just, how he goes from being, quote-unquote, aware enough to think, oh, I've just got my paw on your head. But then, seemingly, he was only thinking about, well, it wasn't the fact that I was earmuffing you, it was that I was earmuffing you with cat paws, but that otherwise it's totally cool and okay.
The whole situation is just awkward.
And I guess because
a lot of these men are.
Yeah, well, not to be on the, anything, but I mean, maybe just because he's crazy cat guy, he can get a little bit more rope. I don't know.
I don't know, but do you want to be known as that?
It just, I couldn't imagine specifically pointing that out and then being like, just grab your head again. This is great. Yeah. What's good? What could be wrong with this? Like,
yeah. So romantic.
Oh, okay. Well,
you didn't like it.
One, maybe get the pause back and you would have gotten the group date rose.
She would have pulled a Claire and just ended it right there.
which she did do. She did have her first, like, no, you're going home right this minute.
Yeah.
Which, again, getting a lot of these things out of the way early on, establishing that, you know, she's in charge.
Yeah.
Even though that ends up getting a little bit taken away from her. But I think we'll tackle all that at the end. So Thomas gets the rose. Carl's pissed. And he says, I'm going to have to fix this at the cocktail party. To get back to what we were saying, we're going to have to dress at the end. He clearly, at that point, started, okay, I have to jump ahead to some of these notes that I made of what I need to do.
Yeah, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now?
Yes. And in between that, while he was at home scheming of which bachelor villain cliche he was going to pull out, we get a one-on-one. And shockingly, and I mean that literally in my case, shockingly, it went to Greg. And I mean, it's one thing to give someone a first impression rose to put sort of a bullseye on their back, but then to immediately give them the first one-on-one date.
Yeah, there's definitely some strong connection there. Definitely. And you can see it too. It's not like one of those random, like, why would you choose, you know, this guy for a one-on-one so early? But I mean, he's definitely a front runner for sure. Did a nice, I mean, we haven't seen any original date ideas yet in this episode. Hopefully we start to get those back a little bit. But, you know, they did the campsite and it had a meaning for both of them with both of their dads passing. They had a connection to camping and fishing with that. So I thought it was a great date. They both opened up. There's definitely a connection there, and I'm sure he's going to be here for a while.
And do you think that if this were Claire, you know, you mentioned her before, would they already be engaged?
I don't think yet. I think the whole Claire, I mean, that's a whole nother issue just of her and her personality. But I, with Claire, like, she had that time to look these people.
That's true.
So I think she went into the competition knowing that she liked everything she found about Dale, and that's who she was going to keep her eyes on. And she didn't really get to explore any other men, because in her mind she was like, I know all this stuff about this guy, this is who I'm going with, we're going to be engaged and go on and off for 15 years. But with Katie, like, she didn't get to my knowledge, didn't get to look up these guys because everything happened so quickly. But I definitely see him going far. But I think the whole thing with Claire looking up the contestants, I think that's what led to, not saying she wouldn't have done it faster without that, because she seemed to have that connection with them. But a big part, I think, was looking up these guys before, because the whole quarantine issue.
Yeah, and we've seen that with Claire before, obviously acting a little rash when it comes to proposals and relationships. So that also was sort of on brand for her. But, you know, I was watching these two and I'm thinking, you know, they seem sort of like the perfect fit. And I don't know that I ever really felt that way watching Claire, because, like, they were fine together and they certainly had chemistry for days. And literally, and you're
basically on vacation. Like, how can you not be, you know, in a good mood when you're on vacation, I guess, and you're not in the real world with this, and it's easy to just, oh, I found all this stuff out about Dale. This is who I want to be with. We're in this resort, blah, blah, blah. I think there were a lot of factors that went into that whole Claire and Dale situation.
Right. And you had, you know, with Katie and Greg, you know, the fact that they were on this date that had that immediate connection, mm-hmm. of him being like, well, my number one memory of my father's being woken up to go fishing. I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, I understand that producers are good at their job, but geez. Yeah. And the fact that they basically kissed on a toilet and they still had a great time. I'm like, they kept like one thing after another where you're like, these two. It. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how many other guys are going to be able to compete with that. Obviously, we're only two episodes in, but to see that, like, everything they did when it could be super awkward and then we're like, no, it worked. Like, he can't pitch a tent. Ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're all good. Like,
yeah.
Hey.
Like, yeah. And there were no awkward silences. Like, it was just a good date.
Yeah. And, you know, then they have the even deeper conversation at dinner, and sort of shockingly, he gets the rose. But I thought it was hilarious that they cut to the guys and be like, oh, I don't know, like, be bad sign if he comes back
with the rose. Trouble.
I don't know. And then the fireworks are going off. I'm like, guys, I think you got the rose.
Classic producer move, doing the fireworks right near the guy's house.
Yeah, and you know that the, you know, whoever the main house producer came and be like, okay, guys, now talk about how you'd feel if Greg had a rose. And then they're like,
okay, they're talking about it. You can let the fireworks off now.
And, light them up.
And I'm still, I think, waiting for, and it probably won't be Katie because she seems to be probably too nice for this, but I'm waiting for the first person to send someone home and still be like, no, you guys are, you're setting these off. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she goes back. Then the girl comes back instead of the guy and says, yeah, those fireworks were because I sent him packing. I'm serious. No screwing around.
Yeah. I wanted to see a fireworks show. We're going to see.
Listen, we're only two episodes in, but it's hard not to see Greg as the favorite here. Obviously, we'll see how other guys do if other guys do get one-on-ones, or if she's just like, nah, we're just going to have Greg do all the one-on-ones here on out.
Yep.
And the fireworks led us into group date number two, which had plenty of fireworks themselves, as the new weird voiceover guy would say.
Classic Bachelorette date,
you know,
right here.
It really was, and I don't know how many times we need to have guys get physical with each other before, like, you know, we've had broken bones and torn things and busted eyes. I mean, how often do these people need to be beating up on each other before we find something else?
The Bachelorette audience just want to see half-naked men rolling around in dirt hurting each other.
Yeah, and the half-naked part I get, and even, like, the mud or whatever else you want to use, Jell-O or pudding.
Yeah, there could have been a different competition, probably, that involved mud and no shirts, but got to go with wrestling in hopes of having an ambulance show up.
And the whole thing clearly was just so we could see Aaron and Cody and use that as sort of the jumping off point for, I think, was supposed to be the only drama of the night. And I don't even think the people who put this together thought this was going to light a much longer fuse.
Yeah.
To, again, no, we're getting there, but I think they thought it would be much of a more short-term thing.
Yeah.
With Cody and Aaron, but they got a whole lot more than they ever anticipated.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad that, like, this happened in this episode and we didn't have to wait, because those Aaron and Cody were the random ones from last week, in case you didn't know, that started randomly fighting at the welcome party. that had literally everyone confused, like, why did they drop this in right here? But we did find out that they knew each other. They knew each other from back home. Obviously, the tension, they couldn't hide the tension because Katie realized it right away. Tasia and Caitlin realized it. There was no eye contact during the fight because they were paired to fight, obviously. These guys just don't like each other. Aaron called Cody malicious and he's basically not here for the right reasons. Aaron wins, so she gets to sit down. He gets to sit down and talk to Katie about this tension with Cody, and Katie realizes they know each other. I think if it was the other way around, like if Cody won and said the stuff about Aaron would have been the one going home. Like, I don't think it was just because it was Cody. I think it's what she heard from Aaron. Right. Because jumping ahead a little bit, like, she didn't really hear too much of the situation. She was just like, oh, okay, yep, not here for the right reasons. All right, bye. I think I probably would have honestly just sent both of them home because it's unnecessary drama. But I don't know. I think she didn't stop and think too much about just sending Cody home.
No, it was definitely, listen, we need to select a winner. Oh, hey, there's clearly this drama between these two. Just pick one of them as the winner so that the one-on-one time can just be talking about the drama between the two of them. Because it's like, oh, you win this extra time with Katie. But immediately she said, So what was going on with you two? It wasn't like a, hey, let's get to know each other, or that was cool, or anything. Just, so, you got a little something going on with you two, huh? We could tell.
Yeah, and it was definitely, that's because that is, I mean, unless it was editing, but that's exactly what she just went right to it. And then Aaron kind of just opened up all this stuff about Cody and set her off a little bit.
I will say that I'm with you. I would have brought them both together and had them sort of go at it for a minute and be like, yeah, I don't have time for either of this, so goodbye. But yeah. I do think Aaron sounded more believable, where Cody, I got what she was picking up, where it was like he didn't deny it really. Like, he did, yeah, but he didn't.
Yeah, and he wasn't defensive either, like at all. So I definitely see it was a red flag, but I don't know. I think I still probably would have gone with both of them, but I guess after talking and hearing Cody, I think Cody was the right one to go home. But I just wonder if it would have been different if Cody had won and he had that chance to kind of talk about, you know, already knowing Aaron and stuff like that. I wonder if it would have been different.
Yeah, because he could have set the narrative at that point. Because whoever gets that first time to talk about it, they set the story, and then the other one has to try to defuse it.
Right, now, so like, was Aaron not here for the right reason, and is he malicious, and all this stuff on social media? Like, we don't know, because Cody left, but I think it would have been different.
Because Cody has a chance then to say, and who knows what he would have said, but at least he gets to say, he gets to lay the groundwork of, okay, no, maybe it's not social media. Maybe we're talking about an ex-girlfriend, or maybe we're talking about whatever. Right. He gets to decide what the talking points are going to be. And in this case, Aaron did a really good job of laying things down, and Cody just didn't have great response to it. And I'm with Katie there in that if somebody accuses me of that, it would have been a lot more of, well, that's just not accurate. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that's coming from.
Do you really not?
Yeah, like, that's not great.
Yeah.
And even when he did his one-on-one and is like, I am so heated. I want to scream right now. I am so upset.
Yeah, you know, like, there's just no emotion behind his speaking.
You know, because there's obviously, you can have too much of that, as we've seen over the years. Mm-hmm. But I think you need to have a little bit more fire when something like that happens, if it's wrong, if the person is lying. I think, right. I don't think you need to throw a chair through a window, but I think you can be a whole lot more upset about it than just like, I am so heated, I am going to yell.
Yeah. And if you really want to stay and be there for her, like, you definitely should have put up more of a fight. But he was just like, all right, bye.
Well, and even when he
like, she literally said, I think it's best if you leave tonight. And he goes, okay.
Okay, sure.
And even when he went to go talk to Aaron, he didn't really deny it so much. He was just like, she wouldn't know if you didn't say.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Say something about it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute. So... You're not denying any of it so much.
Right, one to go home, but it is curious to see if it would have played out differently.
Absolutely.
But we won't know.
We won't, but I think we got lucky in that respect. But I also don't think Aaron is, again, we're two episodes in here, but I don't know that Aaron really did himself any favors throughout this other than, I guess, getting Cody out, who could have caused him some issues.
As a threat.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, just being tied to this sort of junk, I don't think is a great jumping off point.
Yeah. No.
And, you know, she thinks it's over because she says, you know, I'm here for an engagement. And if you're not here for an engagement, you know, I need whatever, blah, 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 you can leave. And that's going to be that. Cut to the cocktail party. And Andy Rest, by the way, gets the date roast, group date roast. I don't know if that totally matters.
It was a little random. I think she wanted to think about it alone when Cody left and Andrew S kind of just got up and followed her with a drink and was like, hey, here, I got you a drink. And then he praised her a bit. She loved it. He got the rose.
Yeah. As soon as he walked the champagne over to her, I actually just wrote it down. I was like, oh, Andrew S gets the rose, because it was over at that point. Like, I just knew it. It was like, okay, I want to be alone, but I want to be alone. It means whoever brings me champagne first gets the group date rose. So,
yeah, exactly. Missed opportunity on the other guys.
Yeah. But Andrew did the right thing. And I thought he handled himself well. So good for him. But what it leads to is this cocktail party that she thinks it's all over. Like, I sent Cody home, guys, because I only want people here who are, you know, here for me and here for the right reasons. And people are getting drunk watching this show because people said right reasons so much during this episode. And
sex positive.
Sex positive. We got a couple of those. And for some reason, Carl chooses episode 2 to just light this fuse and
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are they going to do these upcoming episodes? Like, they're pulling out all these all these stops, you know, in episode two. Like, we usually get these maybe four, five, six, episode four, five, six. But episode two, and sounds like all these guys are not here for the right reasons.
Yeah, and, you know, he hears that that Cody had gone home, and he's someone else. I don't even know who it was, but it was like, oh, you know, these are all good dudes here. And he decides to say, like, well, we don't know that. How many, maybe there are other bad dudes here. And ding, the light goes off. And yeah. Immediately, okay. And
all right, I'm going to find someone.
I kind of wish Katie could have sniffed this out a little bit better, because for him to go over to her and say, like, oh, you know, not every, I'm hearing things, don't know things about things. And there's some people, it's in the air about maybe people are here to be famous. I don't know. It's
but
in
don't
the air.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But I don't want you to worry. I'm
don't
just
think
telling
about
you.
It.
It's, listen, and
say.
She's quite literally saying, tell me, give me details, be the me, basically. She's saying, yep. She even said to the group, this is a safe space. You can come to me. And all I could think of was her with Matt. And when she told him about the Mean Girls. Like, so yeah. She's giving them carte blanche. You can be a tattletale. You can come talk to me about these things. And so when Carl does, she's begging for details. And the fact that he can't even come up with a name or like, hey, I'm not going to say it.
I don't think he was expecting her to be like, all right, let's hash this out. Like, tell me the names. And then he was like, oh, like.
Oh, crap.
In his mind, he's like, oh, wait, there actually is no one right now. Like, I was kind of just making it up.
Who have I talked to? Who is almost kind of maybe made an off
comment. Yeah, I can't remember any of the names. Pick a name.
Oh, crap. Is there a Bob? Is there a Bob here? Bob sounds familiar.
Someone
it was Bob.
Need me a name.
Who do you think is here for the wrong reasons? And I'll tell you if they are or not.
I'll say yes or no if you give me a name.
It just, as soon as she heard this, because she ended up almost not quite thanking him, because she did immediately question his motives, but then to go to everyone and be so upset and say, you know, I was told that there were multiple people here that aren't here for me. Like, the fact that he couldn't give you a single name, and this isn't like a snitches get stitches situation, because she made it very clear, like, nah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You could tell me.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't you should be worried about if you tell me a name because you're going to go home because you told me. It was literally the opposite.
Yeah. Stay vigilant, Katie. Okay, yeah. I'm going to try, but how about you tell me who to watch out for? No. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
I just hated how he was like, well, just don't worry about it right now, but I just wanted to let you know. And she said it perfectly. She's like, I don't have a lot of time here with these guys. Like, I need to know. And then that's when he was like, well, it's just people.
Yeah.
Guys in the house. Okay, Carl.
And I did think it was right of her, though, to, and whether, you know, ultimately he's trustworthy or not, but she went to someone she knew would probably be straight with her. And I don't know if it was because he already had a rose or whatever, but it was like, hey, Aaron, come here. We want to talk. Like, let's have this chat. And
well, he was kind of shocked. He's like, wait. He was like, wait, why am I in trouble now? Like,
although, yeah, he didn't have a rose, but he was pretty solid, clearly.
Yeah, he was like shocked when his name was called. He's like, oh my God, now what? Like, Cody's gone. I thought I was in the clear.
Did somebody drop my name? Oh, this is going to be problems. We're going to go back into the mud. But
yeah.
The fact that he was very clear that, like, I'm confident that there's no, like, I have not heard a single thing of anyone that is here for the wrong reasons or whatever term you want to use. And I think that gave her a little bit of relief from what was going on and mm-hmm. probably immediately clicks to like, oh, okay, this is just Carl making stuff up.
Yeah, that's just Carl being Carl.
And he did admit it to the guys that it came from him, And it,
which is so weird. Like, I don't understand his strategy here.
You know,
unless he thinks he's going to be going home soon, and then he's just like, you know what, I'm just gonna be memorable, and I'm just gonna say it was me and see what happens.
I guess, because his response to the guys was, I think, even worse than what he said to Katie, because they were, you have multiple guys screaming like, who is it? And you just have him going back to like, I heard some things. It's not my place to say, but you just said it. Yeah. So clearly you thought it was your place to say. And like,
well, everyone's like, who is it? And he's like, if you're asking, you know who you are.
Like, that person, oh, I'll,
yeah,
let.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Actually, I'm not here for the right reasons. You're right. It's me.
The person, like, knows what? Who it is. There's stuff in the air. They can come forward if they want. And I want to let them admit that they're not here for the right reasons. And
then we'll have a name.
Wait, what? And then he also tried to, and God, I wish he would have done this while she was around, but said like, oh, well, she asked me. And yeah. No.
Okay.
That never happened. No, you just decided you wanted to lead with,
well, she asked you here. After you told her.
100%. And then that's when
you're getting things mixed up.
You gave zero information about who is there, not there for the right reasons. Where, like, so clearly this was 100% just made up on the spot.
Yep.
And you have the guys who, when he sort of melted down near the end, it was just like, well, this is all for nothing. Like, you clearly heard nothing, you saw nothing, but you just decided you wanted to just light the fuse and run.
Yep.
And
yeah, and I think Katie was a little weak in the moment with the whole Aaron and Cody situation, and she's like, I think she realized that, oh, it could happen that people are really here for the wrong reasons. And I think, I don't know if Carl sensed that weakness, but I think she wasn't in the right place to just call Carl out and be like, no, you know what? I think you're making this up. I think you're the one that's, you know, trying to start things. But I don't think her mind was in that the form that was just like looking for to send someone else home. I think her mind was like, I think that maybe there are more people in there, and I need to make it known that these people need to leave if they're not here for me.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and they didn't give us anything really in the scenes from next week, but yeah. I think, or at least maybe I hope, that Carl doesn't even make it to the actual rose ceremony portion of the rose ceremony. I hope she comes out and is just like, yeah, I don't believe you. And I've made it clear that if there is anybody here for the wrong reasons, that they should leave, or I will send them home or whatever. Like, they're not for me, but I know you're not here for me and you need to go. I'm hoping that's what happens. And with there being so many guys, I'm hoping they don't need one more week of like a producer pick with Carl being that guy. Cause I think the drop would be plentiful. Especially if Thomas did indeed talk about wanting to be the Bachelor. I think that will provide plenty of drama, and we'll get to that in coming weeks. But I really hope she just comes out and says, goodbye, sir. Your services are no longer needed.
Yes, please leave.
So because of all that, we were deprived of a rose ceremony. I was very excited to see a rose ceremony, and
I was too.
No rose ceremony.
Yeah, I was excited, and then I realized how much time was left, and I was like, it's definitely a to-be-continued one.
Yeah. When they started the cocktail hour, like, we got about 12 minutes. Like, this could happen if she decides she wants to go right to the rose ceremony, which, as we saw, did not happen. So as soon as she started talking, I'm like, oh, man.
Correct.
8 episodes without a rose ceremony. First world problems over here.
Not good.
So we did lose one person even without a rose ceremony. That was Cody. And then Thomas, Greg, and Andrew S. already have roses. So, I mean, at least we covered some roses, even though
yeah,
there was no rose ceremony.
Out of the way.
And, you know, the next week, you know, the house drama continues. Maybe Thomas is the new villain, especially if Carl goes home, because guys seem to be turning on him. For among other reasons, he mentioned the option mm-hmm. or the potential of being the next Bachelor.
Yeah.
Which is a big no-no.
Correct.
That came up in previous seasons, and you're not supposed to acknowledge the fact that...
Even if it's in your mind, you just never say any of that.
No, because that's not part of this journey drink. This is, you're supposed to be here for that person and not the next phase, if you will. So we shall see. You know, obviously there was a lot of drama in there today, among these 23 men. Is there anything else that I missed there?
I don't think so.
Whew.
That was about it. It was a lot, but also nothing.
Carl,
I think at the same time.
Carl got me all worked up here. So we'll see what happens with Carl, but beyond that, is there anything else this week that our folks need to know about?
Yeah, we got a few things, actually. They announced our Bachelor in Paradise hosts that will be joining this season. Lance Bass, David Spade. I think we knew David Spade last week when we talked, but David Spade, Lil Jon.
That's going to be awesome.
I feel like he'll definitely probably be near the bar. Titus Burchett. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, like, are they each going to take like an episode, or are they going to be in different aspects of, like, is one going to be the host, one going to be kind of, I don't know, I'm not sure how they're going to play it out, because I mean four hosts is a lot, I think, unless they just rotate, but then you don't really get that continuity, I think, so it'll be interesting to see how they pair these hosts together.
Yeah, especially if you know, once you're in quarantine and in the bubble, I mean, you're just going to have people take like a week off, or you just
right.
Like,
are
okay,
you just
David,
are you just going to work one day and then you can leave, or is it you there for the entire time? It's definitely a variety of hosts.
I like it though. I think it's going to add a little something that, you know, again, pre all this drama with Chris, like he was fine and he was sort of just what we were so used to. Like we were talking about, these voiceovers are so weird because we're just so used to hearing Chris's voice. He was always just sort of the safety blanket of all of this.
Right.
But like, the fact that you're going to have, the fact that you're going to have hosts that just add some extra craziness, which would be a little much, I think, for the main Bachelor or Bachelorette, but for Paradise, I think it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they do four different ones, but I'm excited to see how it all works out. Jenna Cooper got engaged to her baby daddy.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Jenna from Jordan's situation. That was a Paradise situation. Kayla Quinn got married to her boyfriend.
A once almost bachelorette.
Yes. Yep.
Once upon a time. Congratulations,
once
Kayla.
Once upon a time. And then a story just came out a couple minutes ago, actually, while we were talking.
It always happens after the fact. This
I know.
Good.
I'm surprised that it happened during this. But Carly was rushed to the hospital.
Oh no!
And with Evan by her side.
Oh.
We know that they're going through a divorce right now. There's no information on why she's going to the hospital, but all it says is that she's in really rough shape. And she lost her phone. So he wants her to be the one to update on what's happening with her health. And then, he also added that it brought back memories of him being in the ambulance in Bachelor in Paradise. So there's a little humor there. So I don't think it's too serious. But we're not really sure what the cause is right now. And then we have some new Bachelor Nation babies this week. Lauren and Chris Lane had their baby.
Yeah, and
a 9-pound baby.
Oh my god! Because I saw the before photos.
Yeah.
I think there got to be four babies in there. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, that their baby was 9 pounds, which is so insane.
God, bless.
Yeah. And then Ari and Lauren had their twins.
And I thought Lauren looked, with the one baby, looked bigger than with the twins.
Yeah. It was
Lauren crazy. Lane looked bigger than with the, oh my Lord. Because how much did your twins weigh, each of them?
When they were born?
Yeah.
One was 4'6" and one was 4'10". So they're still less than Lauren's one baby.
That's so, oh my God. That's insane. Crazy.
But they just a few hours ago posted pictures of the twins, so I'll repost them on our Instagram, but they're adorable. And as much as back and forth history we have with Ari and Lauren, the babies are pretty adorable.
Listen,
good luck with twins. So
Ari is a tool, but congratulations nonetheless. And it's not the baby's fault that their father is a tool. Yeah. So they're super cute, and I'm glad everyone's happy and healthy, but he's still a tool. I think both of those things can be true.
Yep.
We want everyone to be healthy, but he's still a tool. That's all there is.
Yep. Agreed.
Oh, that was a lot.
That's all I have.
That's all. Oh my God.
It was a busy week.
That was so much. Well, listen, not a lot happened this week, but there was a lot of drama. And I think the quarantine season specifically, we're seeing, this is more drama than the last two. So I think, or two and a half, if you will. So I think this is good. We're getting a little bit into the throwing everything against the wall.
But it's also
sticks.
Only episode two. So
that's what I'm saying. It can only go up from here, right?
We can hope.
Okay. Well, not a lot of confidence there. That is the second best Katie, maybe first best Katie. Do you want to be better than Katie Thurston or second best to Katie Thurston? It's your choice.
After this episode, I'll be better. But
okay. Well, our number one Katie Waite, thank you as always. My name is Ryan Jones. You can find us across socials at Bachelor Podcast, and we'll see what happens with the drama next week, and we'll see you right here.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.